Welcome to the Six Figure Speaker Spotlight, the podcast where we uncover the secrets of CEOs, entrepreneurs, and visionaries who've used public speaking to skyrocket their businesses and their bottom line. Get ready for captivating stories, valuable insights, and practical wisdom from the trailblazers who've mastered the art of the stage. I'm your host, Kelly O'Hara, and I'm thrilled to bring you their experiences and expertise directly to you. Let's get started. Welcome back to the Six Figure Speaker Spotlight, where we don't do surface level anything. This is where the real conversations happen. The ones that crack open what it actually takes to scale your business, elevate your message, and turn your voice into a force of nature. Today's guest isn't just talking about wealth. She's rewriting the entire manual and revealing the truth of how it works. You've heard the grind it out hustle stories. You've seen the six steps to success that feel more like six steps to burnout. But what if the secret to quantum wealth isn't in doing more, but in regulating your nervous system and aligning at the cellular level? Yep, we're going there today. My guest is Alara Sage, known in the entrepreneurial world as the Oracle of Wealth. She's a transformational mentor who guides visionary leaders and conscious entrepreneurs into a whole new paradigm where wealth isn't forced, it's embodied. Her story, let's just say, it's not your average rise and grind tale. Alara built it all and then lost everything. And instead of chasing her way back to success, she cracked the code on what real wealth feels like when it flows through your being, not just your bank account. Through her signature wealth flow framework, breathwork, quantum principles, and decades of spiritual and business mastery, she helps high-level leaders ditch survival mode and step into a frequency where wealth becomes inevitable. She's not here to teach you how to hustle harder. She's here to show you how to become the source of abundance itself. So if you're ready to stop white-knuckling your way to the next income level and start tapping into a deeper, more regulated, more radical relationship with wealth, buckle up. You're about to meet the woman who helps leaders create money as naturally as breathing. So let's get into it. Welcome to the spotlight, Alara.
Hello, Kelly. Thank you so much for that beautiful intro.
I'm excited to get into this subject because it is so essential right now. The world is changing rapidly. New technologies are coming. People could roll into fear mode, roll up into a ball, but they don't have to. They just have to tap in. And you're the gal to show us. But I like to go back to the beginning. Before you were the Oracle of Wealth, who was Alara Sage and what's the moment that cracked it open for you?
Absolutely. So I've been on a spiritual journey for many years, but in 2021, I seemingly had it all. I had a six-figure spiritual business. I had multiple six figures in the bank. I had a wonderful partner. I had all the things. And from the outside, it looked perfect. And yet I had that voice. That voice said, just get more. Just get some more money. Just get some more, and then you can relax, let go, find freedom, whatever it is. And despite my level of awareness, self-awareness, I was still allowing that little voice to have control over me. And I was really in denial of some deeper subconscious relationship that I had with money. So I wasn't listening to my intuition, my higher self, and I had several big red flags come through that were telling me that I needed to shape up or ship out. And it ended up in this place where I watched my bank account go literally from six figures to zero in a snap of a finger. I experienced a scam. Now, I'm a highly intelligent person. Those words I never would have thought would have come out of my mouth. I've always been able to say, oh, that's a scam. That's obviously a scam. Oh, that's a scam. And this was a very well orchestrated scam in the context of this was a mentor that was referred to me by a friend, and he had been working with this mentor for years. So somebody known, somebody trusted. And yet, this is what I experienced. In that moment when I watched my money go to zero, I collapsed to the floor. I had a variety of different emotions. I had grief, I had despair, I had what the F just happened to me. I had all the things. But ever since I was a little girl, I've had this capacity to create my reality. Even to the point that I used to believe very strongly that I could bring candy bars out of my dream state into my physical reality. It never worked, but I believed it. And I would try it over and over again. And people would ask me, how do you do that? You just always create your reality. I was, since I was a kid. And honestly, I didn't know how I did it. I was just really good at it. And over the years of spiritual embodiment, I've learned how I have cultivated that power. So here I was on the floor thinking, okay, this is fine. I'll just create it all back again. But I still wasn't listening. I still wasn't really looking at why I ended up on this floor with a big fat zero in my bank account in the first place.
Do you
And
think
so,
it's part, Alara, do you think it's a very important part of it all to make the next level of your own existence is that you really have to look at how you got there? Do you think that's important to the process?
I believe that we are creators. We are creating our reality. And this is all holographic. And it's all a conversation. Everything that occurs in our life is a reflection, a conversation that is wanting to be had with us. And I wasn't having the conversation. I was speak to the hand. I'm not listening because I didn't want to hear it.
Yeah, that's fascinating to me because I too believe, I really do understand well that this universe is speaking to you all the time. And the problem is we're not listening. We're usually doing the talking. We're usually doing the begging, the crying, the willfulness. But if we want the conversation, it's available.
Absolutely. And I believe it's the core of everything. So here I was, not listening, not having the conversation. I'm just going to take control, divinity, higher self. I've got it. Let me just make it happen. And that's not what happened. Instead, my six-figure business collapsed. And for the first time in my life, I went into debt. And now I was listening.
It took something deep, dark to happen to in order to do that, huh? Usually does.
And I started to really, okay, wait a second. All right. What is really going on here? And higher self came to me and said to me, you don't show up in relationship to creation, to life, to money. And higher self says, why don't you ask money, the spirit of money, ask money how you show up in that relationship. And I said, okay. So I called in the spirit of money and I said, money, how do I show up in this relationship? And boy, did I not like the answers that money gave me. I don't remember. It was a long list, to be honest, Kelly. But money basically said, you show up when you want something. Sure, I practiced gratitude, but was I really connected to money? I didn't even really have any sense of money. I don't know if perhaps somebody in the audience resonates with this, but numbers just seemed like this thing, even though I was very good with math. In school, it wasn't about math. It was just numbers, 500,000, 10. What was the difference? I wasn't connected to money. So money told me all the things in the way that I was basically dysfunctional in the relationship I had with it. And I set about reconstructing my relationship to money and my relationship to everything, to creation, to my business, to my clients, to life. And not only was I able to recreate the six figures and all of that, there's such something so much deeper around the embodiment of, as you mentioned so wonderfully in the intro, what is wealth? What really is wealth? Not just making money, because we all know You can be a billionaire and it can feel empty, lifeless, void. So making money is not the thing that really grants us fulfillment. But what I realized is when we embody wealth, when we deeply connect into this realization that wealth is the art of exchange, the art of exchange. How are you showing up in that exchange? It's not one-sided. It's you and yourself. It's you and your partner. It's you and your friends. It's you and your clients. It's you and your business. It's you and the universe. It's you and creation. And it matters how you show up to receive. It matters how you show up to spend, give. It matters how you show up to hold. And transforming those core qualities of those, what I call the trinity of wealth, from scarcity and lack and having to grab and chase and grind and hustle to I am the source.
Wow, that's so powerful. And again, the question really everyone should be asking themselves, just down to the basics, wherever you are in your journey, what is wealth to you? Because a lot of people think that's money. And money, there's a price. Sometimes you're trading money for a far more valuable asset, which is time. Where are you spending your time? Who are you spending it with? Who, you know, what are you giving up? And you don't have to, you get to have it all. You get to have wealth, but you should know what, how you define it, don't you think?
Absolutely.
This is one of the things I love about this. I love the rags to riches story. I love the hero's journey. I love when people have taken a huge hit in life, no matter what it is. If it's your health, which is far worse, you can recover money. Health is a bigger challenge. But there's always, I believe that there's a rainbow in everything, that there's always something, some silver lining for you, or some gift that you needed. Usually it comes in the form of a lesson. What did losing everything teach you that success never could?
Yes, absolutely. I find that interesting, the comment that health, I also, it was in 2014, 2015, lost my health and I regained that. Is it more challenging? I don't know if I would define it that way. I think everybody's experience is different, but to be lost of anything and to regain it, it's a challenge. That's the point, right? Because it's through the pressure that the diamond is created.
Oh, that's very true. That's a really good analogy. I think about health because I know people who have had children. One of their children is super, super sick or dying. And I know they bargained with God, please, I'll give up everything, all the money I have. They were wealthy too. And so I give it all up if he can just be healthy again. I myself, for others and for myself, the money is secondary. Your health allows you to do a lot of things that when you're not healthy, you can't do. And that feeling of, I can't, if you're super sick, I'm now limited. That's very constraining for me personally. So I always think people say, oh, I hope I can retire and never work again. And I think, wow, that's really not the best take, because someday someone tells you can't work. You can't work. Sickness tells you that. The people you work for, your company tells you that. Then you'll really wish you were working. You had that opportunity. Now you've lost it. It really changes things when you lose things. So I always love it when someone shares that story of how it all disappeared and what they did in that circumstance, which you're just such a great guest for that, of the direction that you went. Now, let's say you're, you know, this story, a lot of people would be chasing alignment after the burnout. You seem to have discovered that through all this chaos. When did you realize that this work is really your calling? It's not just your comeback.
That's a beautiful question. When it was really challenging, because I don't know if much about gene keys and human design, but I'm what's called an experiencer. I'm here to dive headfirst into things and try them out and learn. It's lifelong learner, teacher. And so when I was in the thick of it and really coming at it from every single different angle and having these deep conversations with higher self, with my body, with my sexual energy, with my power, like how many different angles can I come at the conversation of money and wealth? Then I love to then turn around and help others because I feel this sense of, it's not like obligation, but it's like I cannot, because I feel so deeply intimate with the subject and all of the different ways that humanity explores wealth.
Also, this led you obviously to, you know, what you do now. You're really guiding visionary leaders with the wealth flow framework. Tell us about it. What's it look like? And what do you tell people who are stuck in doing but not being?
In spirituality particularly, but in, I think, a lot of just awareness right now, there's a lot of conversation around less doing, right? And for some people that might be really relevant, and for some it might not. I personally am a person that has I have a lot of creative energy, and to not do would just not feel good in my body. However, why are we doing what we're doing? This is the question to ask ourselves. If we are doing to get, then we are in scarcity lack. If I do this thing, I will get. If I create this, I will get. Then we are creating codependency. Everything is attached via a string, right? I will give you this as long as I get in return something else. So what really transforms is the why, and what is the energy, that the intention of which you are doing. Because when you are really in what I call aliveness, what I call your wealth kink, this is what turns you on. What turns you on? What is so lit up in your body to create in this world that you cannot stop it? It is the wave of creation and you are the surfer. Then your action is incredibly powerful and potent. And yes, we can actually do a lot less because most of the doing is all in this trying to get. It's a grasping outside of ourselves. It is a displacement of our own power. When you realize that you are the source of all of it, nothing needs to be grasped, obtained, attained. And now you just simply get to create what lights you up. And that's where the radical shift takes place. So my clients go from exactly where I was before, very up in the head, overthinking, beautiful achievers, right? And I love people with ambition and who are achievers because, yes, let's take that fire. I'm not going to tell you to stop doing, my loves. I'm going to rewire where that doing is coming from and why you're doing what you're doing. And so everything becomes this beautiful dance of creation. Everything becomes lit, alive, pleasurable, erotic, orgasmic, because that is really what creation is. And so instead of it being obligation and have-tos and this long list of to-dos and stress and overthinking, it's joy and pleasure and love and expansion.
That's certainly a more positive approach, definitely. And you've really blended, from everything all my research told me, you've blended ancient wisdom and quantum physics and, interestingly enough, nervous system regulation. I found that one an interesting component. What made you combine all those elements? What was the key that said, oh, this is the best business coaching toolkit?
It's just simply through what my clients have shown me. What works. So again, as a teacher learner, I am always learning and growing and expanding myself, my business, the way that I do things. And what I've created and cultivated is simply because this is what works.
What do you think, from your perspective and the clients that you've helped, what's the biggest misconception that people have about what it really takes to reach that quantum wealth that you suggest is available to everybody?
The Secret, Manifestation, Law of Attraction, there's a lot of teachings out there, and they're not wrong in any way, shape, or form. They are often lacking depth. And can you go out there and create some affirmations and, you know, you're going to attract everything you want? Yes. And there's much more depth to it than that. What generally happens is people get really lit by this kind because it's true. It will activate a remembrance within you. But then what happens is they start in this process and all of their subconscious beliefs come rip roaring to the surface and they continue to believe them. And thus they continue to create them. And now all of a sudden their manifestation techniques, quote unquote, aren't working. But it's actually just because they are not being fully aware, like I was. They're not really listening to the conversation because all the information is there. And they're allowing those subconscious beliefs, those fears, essentially, to override their desires.
So how do you know when a client's really ready for this level of transformation, or are they still trying to strategy their way out of misalignment?
If they come into my space, they're ready. My energy is very specific.
Tell me what's a pattern then. Can you identify a pattern that you see with kind of high achieving entrepreneurs? Like they carry that it secretly like sabotages their wealth embodiment.
It's really about desiring something else.
That's it.
Now, this is a complete rewrite of what humanity has been in for years. We've been taught the hustle is the way, and it was the way. And we are entering a new paradigm of wealth. And so you have to be re-ready. You have to be ready to rewrite your nervous system, your subconscious mind. It is not just you say some affirmations and there it is. It requires you to show up for yourself. But when you are done, you're done. And generally they feel this, there's another way. I'm so tired of this. I have one client who she had six-figure business. She's done with it. She doesn't want it anymore. She's in the process of learning this new way. And part of herself says, just go back. You have the six-figure business. And every part of her says, I don't want that way of living anymore. I literally cannot go back. She's still running the business as she's transforming herself, very intelligent. But it doesn't hit her. There's no part of her that wants to continue that way forward anymore. So they reach this point and they're done. And they really want to learn how to create wealth from the self-source.
It's interesting for me to hear your perspective because I concur as well. And that was a perfect story to translate to share with the audience that it is all about the creation. It's not about the result. The minute you get the result, you've moved on. You're ready. That's like next thing. And some people will go back and recreate it again with a new name, a new face on it, a new whatever. But that's boring now. You've already created it once. It's time to do something else. And yourself, your inner core tells you that because it's not as exciting the second time, unless the first time tanked and you haven't quite achieved the creation to the level or to the fulfillment that you have in your mind. But there's that wonderful adage, it's a journey, not a destination. The destination is almost unimportant. It's the journey of getting there and the tough road to get there and what it took you to get there and what you found in yourself to get there that really is what you remember, including the deliciousness of the failures. And you know why I say that? Because think about it. How many times have you given a talk? How many times have you had a dinner party or been in an event? People aren't talking about, hey, for the first 10 minutes, they're talking, I've helped millions of people. I've helped thousands of people and made millions of dollars. Nobody cares. But when they start to share, wow, I lost it all and I found my way back again, that's the story people want to listen to. They want to hear that story. And those are the stories you want to tell because they're the ones that made the difference. When you finally get the paycheck, I'm here to tell you, and six figures is the perfect one. When I made that, it was like this goal. The minute I made it, it became completely unimportant after that. It just wasn't important because you'd already accomplished it. The accomplishment was I set a goal, I made it. Okay, now it's just Tuesday. Now it's just time to do something else, create something else. So I really appreciate your message. Now, let me ask you, so much, this show is about public speaking, the power of public speaking and getting out there, and you know about this. When did you decide? At what point did you decide that this is where you need to be? It's essential, and it's not just for your business, but it's for the movement that you're building.
Yeah, I just started public speaking long before I even owned this business. It was just that thing I just had to do. And
Really?
I
It was
was,
that calling that strong?
oh yes, absolutely. Yeah. And for those who are astrology buffs, I am a Leo rising, Leo moon, all this Leo energy. I'm all about being in the spotlight. But I was shy as a child, and I wasn't extroverted at all in school or anything like that. But when I really came into my spiritual awakening, it was like, you need to start speaking and get on as many different platforms and do as much as you can and get it out there and speak. And so that's what I started doing.
What's the effect of that been? What was that experience like for you, and what have the results brought you?
It has always been somewhat easy for me, even though there have been some pretty intense times where, at one point I started to use my voice for healing, and I'm not a singer. And the internal hit was to open your mouth and start singing, making these noises, not really singing, it was chanting and toning. And I had deep unworthiness about that because I was told that I couldn't carry a tune and I can't sing. And higher self kept saying, just open your mouth. This is not singing. This has nothing to do with singing. Just open your mouth. And it took me years of doing that on multiple platforms as often as I could to really get to this point that I just open my mouth and I don't care anymore as far as I trust in that wisdom. But with the actual talking, that was always very easy for me. Have there been times where I have hit my own states of unworthiness, that I have questioned myself? Have there been times when I thought, why did I say that? Yes, to all of the things, but I love learning through experience. I love throwing myself in the fire and then figuring out how to get through that. That's just the kind of person that I am.
You can't help yourself in all of that, Alara. You're a Leo. And I have many Leos in my life, from my mother to my sisters to my friends. I'm an Aries. We attract you guys. The Aries and Leos go very well together. And I love the Leos, and they can't help themselves. Even if they're a little introverted on the coming in, they will find themselves and they have to be out there in front. So I appreciate that. It was meant for you. But has the speaking that you have done, has it changed the kind of clients that you attract, or the level of, let's say, the resonance that you experience in your business?
It's definitely, it just gets you out there, doesn't it? And you're able to just reach so much larger of an audience. And what I really love about it is conversations like this, where you're not just broadcasting. It is a back and forth and a communion. And what I find that is through podcasts are one of my favorite ways to be speaking because of the intimacy that's created through the conversation, right? Again, it's not just somebody like blah, blah, blahing and broadcasting. There's back and forth, there's questions, there's exploration. And I find that people really reach out to me. I have my own podcast, but people really reach out to me a lot on when I've been on other people's podcasts, right? Because they feel safe with their host. They're familiar with that podcast. And then you come on and you're in this already, this space of almost like a referral. You're already being given some kudos for being on that host's podcast. So I find that I receive a lot of clients through being guests on other people's podcasts. And they're people that reach out And they, for whatever reason, they reach out. I don't know what it is about it, but they reach out and they say, I heard you on this podcast. Whereas when I'm other on other platforms, people don't tell me that. So it really creates, I think, they feel you more. They feel a sense of connection to you.
1000%. I could not agree with you more on this. A lot of people, I know a lot of us love, there are people who love to get on a stage and talk to 1,000 people, but it's not as intimate an audience. Whereas podcasting does feel, it's such an intimate platform. It's why I enjoy it so much, is that you really feel like you get to present a guest, get to know a guest, research a guest, and share a guest with your audience that you've vetted in advance. And that you think they bring something to the audience that you truly care about. And I love the back and forth of it as well. When we started this, I always tell my guests, listen, I'm not interviewing you. This is a conversation. It's far more interesting because I think it gets the audience to participate on their side to see what questions would I like to ask. Oh, it's now they're in the conversation, they're part of it, and then they get to know you. And if they like what you have to say and it resonates, absolutely, they feel like they've spent a half hour or an hour with you already. They've gotten to vet you a little bit before putting themselves on the line and calling you. So, you know, that first of all, I'd like you to tell people the name of your podcast and where they can find you.
Yes. So my podcast is called Wealth Embodied, where we go into all of these beautiful conversations. And I'm on all of the platforms, as well as my website. And the wealthembodied.com website is the podcast. And then I have my own personal website, alarasage.com.
And I think you should tell people you have a wonderful promotion going on. We need to know about the VIP Wealth Accelerator. What kind of leader is it designed for? What can they expect to walk away with on a cellular level?
Yes. So it's an initiation. It's really coming in with the desire to create not just wealth, but a legacy, a masterpiece. Those who have vision, those who want to cultivate impact for humanity. And in this space, we are bringing in this embodiment of how that impact, how that vision, how that creation really desires to come through that person and cultivate into physical reality. So it really is an embodiment. It is the quantum creation. Of course, we're working with that nervous system regulation because that's just part of the game and the relationship to money. And what they walk away with is this deep connection to the creator that they are. And understanding how do they create? What does aliveness feel like to them? And they walk away with knowing exactly how to move forward in their legacy masterpiece, if we already haven't cultivated a great deal of it, depending.
You talk about helping leaders become the source of their wealth. What shifts inside that container to make that happen?
It's that restructuring of trying to get, trying to obtain and lack mindset, and instead the embodiment and what that really feels like and looks like, because it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what the economy does. It doesn't matter if your business collapses, you'll just recreate a new one. When you embody wealth, you are the living frequency of it. So everything can go to hell. It doesn't matter. You are no longer a subject of it. You are the creator of it.
I think this is such a good conversation because honestly, out there, people may feel like this is really woo. They may feel like this is, oh, ooga booga, blah, blah, blah. But you know what? Everyone out there that's on that side of their brains, people, you know them. They are the people that are, it doesn't matter if you took everything away from them, they're able to rebuild that wealth again, just like that. It doesn't matter. They switch industries as easy as they switch their clothes. Because they're always attracting, they're always connected to that creative self. They're never afraid, they're fearless, because they're comfortable on that frequency of creating wealth. So whether you understand the quantum physics about this, whether you understand that this is on a cellular level, we've all known millionaires, whether you know them personally or you've read about them, they just keep creating wealth because it's Tuesday for them. They just know how to do it. What if you could get on that frequency? And I think that's so much what Alara teaches, and how to find your own wealth frequency. Is that a fair thing to say?
Yeah, it's about what you're speaking to with the millionaires and all these. It's the genius, right? We have all these beautiful geniuses in our world where people say, you can't do that. And then they go and they do it. That's not real. And they go, you can't fly, brothers. Oh, watch us.
Can't
This
do
is,
4 minute mile until
yeah,
somebody does it, and now
until somebody
everybody.
does it. And now everybody can do it. It's about stretching our limits, breaking our ceilings, recreating what is possible for humanity. And we do that through our unique fractal of what creation is and that genius that we all hold within us.
So I know you're about activating. I know that is so much about what you do. For us simple people out there in the world that, you know, want to understand that wealth isn't something that you chase, it's a frequency that we embody. What's the first step someone could take today to begin tapping into that state? What's something they could do? Give them something practical.
One of the best things you can do is start to recognize where wealth exists in your life. Okay? Because everything is perspective. What you perceive your reality is exactly how you experience it. So if you are perceiving your reality as lack and scarcity, you will perceive it as lack and scarcity. So where is there an abundance? I don't care if it's an abundance of shoes. There is abundance of something in your life, an abundance of time, right? An abundance of something. And you start to focus on that. And you start to really hone in on those experiences, those topics, those subjects, those aspects of your life, and feel the gratitude for that abundance, because that is what creates more of it. And so if you can start to see everything as that is what you will literally experience, because all it is perception, and you can change your perception literally in this moment.
Alara, that's brilliant. I'd like to share something that happened the other day to me that shifted my perspective. Seriously, shifted my perspective in one moment, one sentence changed it for me. I was talking to my husband and we have this running joke that we said something about the lottery. We were talking about going to Africa, we wanted to do this, that, and the other. And he said, I'll just win the lottery. And it's a big joke between us because you have to buy the tickets to win the lottery, of which I never do. He does. And so I said, well, I guess it's this one's on you, because I don't ever buy the tickets. And he says, okay, I get it. And he goes, but we have already hit the lottery. And I'm like, dude, what are you talking about? And he goes, because we found each other, because we hit the lottery, because we found the relationship that's the one that is the most important and impacting. And I thought, whoa, think about it. And I thought about that when I walked away. Of, yeah, if you found the person, I've been with this person 26 years now, and I have been friends with him for 52 years. Who knew? And he said, to find your person is a true lottery win, because they're your most important business partner, your closest friend, your connection to intimacy. Just there's a long list of it. But in one moment, he said, we've already won the lottery. And the minute he said that, it shifted things for me. I just remember thinking, wow, you couldn't be more. That's better than money any day of the week. Any day of the week is better. So I think you're so right. It's what you focus on and what you then become extremely grateful about. That's expansive. That lets you take in a whole lot more around you. It's a little story and it's not about money, but it really is in the end. Finding the best business, finding the best partner for you. It's also a business experience as well. It impacts your business too. That's a blessing. So I have to count myself really lucky. Just a personal note, but I see what you're saying and I can appreciate where you're coming from. And for anyone that's listening to this, I would really like for you to get in touch with Alara and get some more information on her. She's fabulous. If I want to know what you're most proud of at this part of your journey, it doesn't have to be the shiniest thing. It doesn't have to be the biggest star powered thing. What is the thing that you're most proud of that you feel is the most true for you and about you?
Well, through this whole process, it's been the most challenging thing I've ever been through. Specifically the money and the wealth and my business and all of that. it's been the most challenging aspect of my life, even though I had a massive health issue as well back many years ago. And even on the days that I was just on my knees crying, done, I didn't give up. Even in the moments I wanted nothing more than to give up, I didn't give up. And I'm forever grateful and gracious to myself for that.
Yeah, that was my last question would be, do you look back on that hideous experience of being leveled financially, which then causes you to be emotionally momentarily brought back down to earth? Do you feel that it, in the end, was it a gift to you or just a great lesson?
It is the most beautiful thing. Hideous is not a word that I would ever place towards it, because it transformed me. And there are moments where I have cried with so much gratitude, been weeping with gratitude. That occurred to me, and I had to go through that, because I wouldn't be who I am here today. And sometimes that can sound so, oh, that's what everybody says, but it's the truth. Everybody says it because it's the truth. When you go through something like that and you have to dig deep into yourself, you find out who you really are. And from that, I now know myself.
Really is the best way. It really is the most powerful way to find out who you are, is when you're put up against it. And in the end, showing up is it. Most of life is about showing up. No matter yes. what's happening, show up and give it your best shot and it'll work out. Might not work out today. In the end, it will work out. I just can't thank you enough, Alara, for being here and bringing us the kind of insight that it doesn't just inform, it really recalibrates. And getting to hear your story and cracking it open about wealth and embodiment and what's actually possible when we stop operating from force and kind of trust your inner frequency. That's raw. That's real. That's ridiculously powerful. So thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for this platform, for the wonderful questions you asked. And again, just this engagement. I love it so much. Thank you, Kelly.
You are so welcome. These are the kind of conversations we want to have. Sometimes they push the boundaries a little bit, which is good. Then we've done our work. If it gets you thinking about it, if you go home and you have a conversation about it at the dinner table, if people do that anymore these days, I don't get to see that too much. It's really a reminder that wealth isn't out there waiting for you. It's already within you. You just have to give it permission to flow. And I love this idea that really your nervous system is the gatekeeper between you are where you are now and the version that you could have. There's more for you out there. Isn't it nice to know that it is within your control, and you have people like Alara that kind of know how to break through that perceived barrier that isn't really there, it's self-created. So I think Alara is here to show us that. So, you know, if you're ready to start aligning better with that version of yourself, head over to Alara's website. It's alarasage.com. And you can go to alarasage.com/daily wealth dash activation dash sign up. I will have all this in the show notes for you. And Alara's got a daily wealth activation. It's really a beautiful way to tap in and tune up and begin regulating your system to receive. You can catch her podcast. And let's not forget, this is, you know, the power of speaking your truth out loud. And Alara doesn't just coach transformation. She's really transmitting it through every word. That's what great speakers do. They don't perform, they pierce the noise. So whether you're stepping on a stage or you're on a podcast or you're hitting record, your voice has the power to shift everything for your business, for the people who need to hear you. So a huge thanks to Alara for a really rich kind of illuminating conversation. And if this episode hit you, if you have comments about it, we love to hear them. We really feel like it makes a difference when our audience is engaged and sharing. It really helps. This show is really here to remind you that public speaking isn't just about getting seen, it's about getting heard. And you got to be clear, you got to be courageous, and on purpose, just like Alara is. Your message matters, so don't whisper it. And again, thank you, Alara, for being here. Thanks to all of you for being here. And as always, I look forward to our next conversation. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Six Figure Speaker Spotlight. We hope you enjoyed this deep dive once again into the remarkable stories and insights of our incredible guests. Their experiences and hard-earned, time-tested wisdom are not just meant to inspire you, but to provide you with actionable steps to take on your own path to success. Remember, you have a story to tell, and your voice has the power to transform your business and make lasting impact. And that's what it's all about. If you found value in today's episode, let us know, and I hope you'll take a moment and subscribe to The Spotlight wherever you listen to your podcasts, so you never miss a thought-provoking or idea-producing conversation. I'm Kelly O'Hara, and I can't wait to see you back here for the next episode of the Six Figure Speaker Spotlight.